creation is exhausting, and whether that's creating something, some physical piece of artwork or a podcast or a show or whatever, or creating like a new skin for yourself to live into, learning the concept of like breathing in and breathing out creatively has helped me a lot to figure out a sense of balance there and figure out when I feel like I am, yeah, like procrastinating or putting something off versus like, no, I just have been pushing outwards for a long time and I need to take in for a little while.
Welcome to Loving the F. I'm Melissa Allison, and this is the podcast that looks at the forbidden and says, hey, baby. I talk to a new guest each week and examine the female, finances, friends, family, fitness, and all the other F words. So join me, especially if it's forbidden.
Thank you so much for joining me for this episode of Loving the F. I know I always say I am excited to have back one of my first interviews of Loving the F, Emily Herr and Mooney Day. They are the artists that did the public mural in Park City. And we just started talking about art and everything. And now they are back. Thank you so much, ladies, for joining me.
I'm so glad to be here.
Yeah, me too. Maybe we'll do this one again too.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. We all met in Park City. None of us are in Park City. And Mooney, you were the one with the most dramatic life-changing experience. You guys, just to update listeners who didn't hear, you guys drove all the way from the East Coast doing a zigzag type of path to Park City to try to figure out where you wanted to live, Mooney. Mm-hmm. And you decided on Arizona to start your life as an artist. So
yeah,
tell us.
We had a very happy circumstance where I was going to go with Emily to Park City anyways. So we decided to make a road trip out of it rather than flying and use it as a jumping off point. So when I met you in Park City, I wasn't 100% sure where I was going, but I was sure. Emily and I both knew I was most likely coming to Tucson as soon as we got here, really.
It was easy to tell.
Yeah. So after Park City, I took about a week to drive back down. I stayed at one of our friends' houses in St. George, which was really nice to have just like nothing to do and no one to talk to. And then I made my way down to Tucson and just jumped in from there.
And you were living in some really cool, moving into some really cool artist home.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it turned out to be just as cool as I thought it would be. You know, I was a little worried because it seemed too good to be true. But I stayed at this wonderful woman's house. She's a local artist. She's been in the arts community in Tucson for maybe her whole life. She has inherited her mother's property and she's just turned it into this beautiful, like safe little space for people to come and just like be and figure out what they're doing. So it was perfect for what I needed. She was wonderful. The space was great. And knowing that I had that month to not worry about like, do I need to stay in a hotel? Like, what am I going to do if I can't find a job right away or a place? But it all kind of fell into a place soon after that. Got a job, found a place, quit that job, found another place. And then I was like, good after that.
So what are you doing right now then?
Because so right now
I'm following you on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And you are constantly posting stuff. And is that a piece of jewelry that was created after something you drew that you posted a picture on it?
This one?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's not
the one that I have right here. Yes. No, it's not jewelry. This is stained glass.
It's big.
So yeah, it's big. I've been
I thought it was a necklace.
No, I mean I guess it could be. I have thought about making jewelry, but right now I'm just into making more like abstract kind of things. So I was working at a coffee shop for a while and that kind of took up a lot of my time. And I was just taking a break from art, a very intentional one when I first got here. introduce myself as an artist to anybody, because I didn't want to have that like pressure on me to like be cool and an artist. But, you know, the people that I got to know, I did, of course, share with them that that was a part of my life. And I randomly, when I first got here, I just remembered this, went down to a mural festival in Ajo, which is like south of Tucson, southwest, southeast, southwest. Anyway, it doesn't matter. And I just drove down there with one of my friends because we wanted to see it and help out. We wanted to volunteer. And actually, it wasn't really my friend. It was a person that I barely knew that I went with. But that's what happens when you move, is you have to go make those big leaps and hang out with people you don't know and sleep in strangers' houses. So that's what we did. And the first day we got there, we got to talking to people. And I was like, well, a few people hadn't shown up because they were coming from the border. And, you know, there's just difficulties getting through sometimes for folks. So this place was really close to the border. So we had a really good mix of Mexican and American artists. So I ended up just showing someone a sketch in my book and being like, well, can I have that wall space? And they said, yes. So I made myself a little mural there. That was very fun and very, I want to say it like satisfied my ego without being like egocentric, you know? It was very validating to feel like I can come into this space and I can be a part of it and I can, and make my space and still feel valid in what I'm doing and confident in it.
Awesome. That was such a cool thing to hear about from you after we parted ways in Park City. I flew home and you, made your way down to Tucson. And when we were splitting up and getting rid of like all the materials and supplies that we had bought for the murals in Park City, I couldn't take very much on the plane, and we donated a bunch of it to some local art programs in Park City, but Mooney was driving, and so Mooney was able to take like kind of a starter kit of mural supplies with her.
Awesome.
Sort of with that mindset of like, this is something that you have and can use and can do anywhere you go. You can buy a roller cage anywhere, but it was like a little starter kit, and then you immediately put it to use. I think that mostly what you're doing is using smaller brushes, but it was like this really awesome thing that you made really fast, and it looked great, and it was pretty soon after you got there. So
yeah, it was really fast. And I've had people approach me to ask about doing murals, but I don't know. I feel like I could, but I don't think I want to. It's not my jam, you know?
Yeah.
It's not what makes me like really excited to like come up with the idea and come up with the design. I love being an assistant. Yeah. That part is fun. I said that to Emily many times while we were painting. I was like, I'm glad I don't have to make any of the choices you have to make. I'll help, but
Yeah. The choices are the lame part sometimes.
Yeah.
So Emily, what has been going on with you since you've gotten back? I know there have been changes because I too follow you, and I want to update on Bumble Pack as well.
Same.
Stairs. Oh no.
But what have you been doing?
Well, not as much as Mooney.
That's not true. It's just different than Mooney.
Well, honestly, before we got on this call, I was kind of looking back through my own Instagram account to see what I've been doing. Because almost 2 years, right? And a large part of what I've been doing has just been sort of maintaining. Like when we were in Park City, a large part of the sort of mental, emotional, like work that I was doing while we were there was juggling the project, but also trying to juggle the projects that I was going to be coming back to at home, and realizing that like I absolutely could not handle this kind of work load that I had been setting myself up for years. Like this was not totally unusual. This was a really big project. But it was really typical for me to be on site somewhere completely absorbed in like coordinating volunteers and buying paint and thinking about design. and also having to go home and like review a contract for my next job. So instead of like resting or like stretching or whatever, like anything else I needed. So, so part of what Mooney and I talked about while we were there was like, I have to find some way to get help with my work. Like having assistants like Mooney on the job is great. And I still do that. But what I really needed was somebody to help me with the administrative work. And so when I got home, I started sort of trying to figure that out and started trying to divide out what I needed somebody else to do, and made like a big list of like, here's all the stuff that I wish I didn't do. And I started asking around like, does a agency exist for people like me? Like, I know that there's illustration agents that, like their whole business is coordinating the conversation between magazines, books, or whatever you may have, and artists, so that the artists mostly focus on the work, on the artwork. So I don't know if there was anything like that for muralists as far as like companies that exist. I just started asking around and amazingly, incredibly managed to find this wonderful person that has been working with me since January of 2019. And she does all the project managing stuff. So she's been able to take off my plate this giant list of emails and contracts and invoices and things that, like, it's really important to be organized about and on top of. But it takes me so much energy to switch between design thinking and researching and composing, switch over to like spreadsheet management and record keeping and emailing conversations. So that was a miracle, and entirely my work-life balance is so much better. And it took pretty much all of that year to like take my foot off the gas pedal and slow down just a little bit and like not just be working constantly all the time. And that's been really great. I've said no to lots and lots of jobs. She's helped me spread out scheduling a lot more so that I have breaks and I have the amount of time that I actually need to complete a job and like stop working at 5 and have days where I don't actually have something scheduled.
She's your momager.
She's my momager.
Your momager.
Amazing.
You just had to hire one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, totally. So, like, that's been huge. And it's weird to, like, it's weird to think about that as an accomplishment, because it is, absolutely, for sure. I don't question that at all. But it's weird to think about it that way, because it's not taking on something else or doing something more or doing something bigger. It's, like, the accomplishment of delegating and slowing down and pacing myself, and that's been incredible. So,
like, the thing you have to show for it is just your own sanity. Like, you don't have a thing you can point to be like, this is what I've been working on for a year. But
yeah,
you in your mind and body are like functioning better as a person than an artist.
Yeah, totally. Well,
and that was I was just going to say kind of the same thing, Mooney, is that it's, you know, we're talking about art. It's the art of living and the art of managing a career and having a personal life. It is hard since, you know, just being a career person is hard. But when you're trying to make your passion your career in everything, that's when, for me, that I've experienced is when all the lines start to blur. And
yeah, totally.
it's rough.
Yeah.
So what is the goal now? What are you guys working toward? What is the goal? And what have you learned in the last almost 2 years since we did our first interview? Yes,
well, I'll go first.
2 years.
I know.
Yeah. Oh,
before I answer that, how many people have you run into, Emily, that were like, oh, yeah, I've been to Park City. I've seen that mural. I've had 3. No?
No, I don't think so.
Well,
no.
You're a lot farther away.
Yeah, I'm a lot farther
away. I know. I'm a lot closer, and the snowbirds tend to go from like Utah-ish to Arizona-ish. You know, I probably just am in a different area.
I was going to say about the mural for myself, when I left my job and just, I stayed in the community for a while, but when I left the town for good, I drove by that mural. I went down every level because you guys, you created just that experience of that public mural. You did exactly. And I know for me, as well as other people, created a memory. It has a special meaning. It's no longer just the China Bridge parking lot. It now has this beautiful mural that has created memories. It's brought people together. And I mean, look at us, 2 years later, we're talking again. And
yeah, it's so nice to hear. I mean, that means everything to hear that. So thank you.
Yeah,
that's the whole point.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So what are you guys doing moving forward? What's the plan now? And
yes, what I've learned the past year or two is, so I mentioned this very intentional break from making art. For me, that was the smartest thing I ever did. I mean, I say that all the time. I'm very dramatic, but it was a smart move. It was smart because like, I wasn't feeling called to do anything specific. And I felt like I had a toolbox that I could use to force myself to put work out and to keep being involved in this artist community and to keep calling myself an artist. But I decided that that wasn't going to be sustainable. Like I wasn't going to enjoy art if I did it that way. So I just took a break and I was like, I'm not going to make myself take my sketchbook anywhere. I'm not going to try to get involved in the arts communities in Tucson right away. I kind of wanted to just see who I was without art. And turns out I have a lot of different creative outlets. So I am not somebody I can like separate myself from art, but in the way I was thinking about it is what I separated. I separated my thinking as like having to kind of prove yourself with art and like you are cool based on how good your art is and how many people like it. And a lot of that for me was wrapped up in my last relationship. I became an artist when I was dating someone. And I did a lot of that to try to win their favor. And that was my issue, you know, it's a whole big mess of a ball, but that doesn't matter because I figured out that I still want to be an artist, even when no one's like, I'm not trying to do it to impress someone. I don't care if anybody sees it. So taking that break was really important because I don't think I would have gotten to that point otherwise. And now I feel called to start making again. And it wasn't even something I had to like, I'm going to sit down and think about this. And should I be doing this? It was just like, I have an idea and I'm going to try to make it today. So it's been awesome. Fun to dive back in. I don't know really what's ahead in the future. I've been on unemployment since May. Did voluntarily because like many Americans, I make more on unemployment than I did working. And I didn't think that the environment I was in was safe. So I was lucky enough to be given the choice that I could be fired so that I could go on unemployment. So really anything could happen in the next couple of weeks. I don't know where I'm going.
Yeah.
I'm interested in pursuing stained glass. I really like it so far. And I think I will keep it up at least as a hobby. So I'm going to keep doing that. Thinking about grad school, I'll probably have to get a part-time job in the meantime, but yeah, just going with the flow.
Awesome. I am thinking about going back and getting a master's. I've been talking with my old professor in the University of Houston out here, seeing if there's some type of program. But
what kind of program are you interested in going for?
Well, that's what I'm, because I have my, I don't know how much you followed me, but I have my Waking Aphrodite that I created and launched in January. Do you guys know about that?
Not yet.
Nope. Well, I quit my job not long after meeting you ladies. Uh-huh. Like in September, and I had to be creative. And long story short, it's a platform for women who want to reinvent themselves. And the thing that I learned over the last year is it's not a reinvention. It's a remembering. We already have all those things that we long for inside. It's already there. It's just peeling back the layers and allowing the expectations of others and ourselves to fall away, to stand in that vulnerability of who we really are, what we really want. Mm-hmm. So I did it via burlesque. And so a burlesque show January 11th that I emceed and performed in.
Actually, I did see that. Yeah. Now I remember.
Yeah. And then we did it again in February. And then I bragged that it took a worldwide pandemic to shut the show down. So, it's only temporary. We will be back. But yeah, it's like I can't do it right now. So when I look at the programs, they have a certificate for artists. And it's more on the back end of how to run an artistic program, things like that. So that would be really good. But I'm also interested in the information that I want to share with people. I want it to have a backbone in journalism. You know, it's like it has to have a spine. It has to have some facts, some numbers, some research to support that thing that you're sharing, so that when people take it in, they can do it knowing that, you know, this is supported, it's researched, it's whatever. Yeah. So I'm looking at something like that as well. And so I've been talking to some professors about that. But I think
that's a really important concept, is like having that backbone of research, having that.
I'm also worried that it's just a way of me escaping, because I love going to school and I love learning and doing all those other things. So I'm having to be really honest about, is this an escape? Am I just going into hiding for the couple of years that it would take for me to get a master's?
What are you hiding from?
A worldwide pandemic.
Oh, well, we're all kind of hiding from that.
Yeah, you're stuck here whether you like it or not, whether you're aggressive or not. That's going to be real either way.
Exactly. I know it's, just life, just rebuilding. It's like I'm 55 and really another fresh start. Because I don't know. What you don't know is that I was going to move in with a friend and rent a room from her. And I was bringing my son out to Texas to live with his oldest brother while I get back on my feet after everything that happened. Well, while I was gone, she sold all of my stuff for $250.
What?
So, yes. That's the short story. There's a lot that goes into it, but that's the bottom line.
Be a lot more than that, I'm sure. Yeah.
So last year it was a lot of struggle. So it's just exhaustion. It's just constantly putting myself out there all the time to build Waking Aphrodite and to figure out what it was. But now it's like, okay, here we are again. And just when I'm ready to take off, this worldwide pandemic shows again. Mm-hmm. So now what?
Creation is exhausting, and whether that's creating something, some physical piece of artwork or a podcast or a show or whatever, or creating like a new skin for yourself to live into, like there's like learning the concept of like breathing in and breathing out creatively has helped me a lot to figure out a sense of balance there and figure out when I feel like I am, like procrastinating or putting something off versus like, no, I just have been pushing outwards for a long time and I need to take in for a little while.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
Emily's been preaching this for years and it's good.
That's good shit. You can really make a very, very strong comparison to, like, there's a lot of real words that I'm not going to use because I don't know them, but like yoga style breathing. That is like you breathe in and you hold it and then you exhale, and like all three of those steps are important and for different reasons. So like breathing out all the time, you can't do that. Like you need something to replace your breath with, and you also need to sit with your breath for sometimes, and you're not doing either one. And I think that the proportion of those things can be relevant too, you know, where you're like, you can breathe in, but you're not going to hold it in for as long as you're going to breathe in or out. So, I've felt the same way for a while. You guys are both talking about grad school, and like, I have been creating and creating and creating, and I feel like I haven't, you know, as much as I said, like starting to work with a project manager is like an accomplishment. I feel like I haven't been on a large goal path in a while. And I wonder if that might be like, okay, I've either been resting or maybe holding and do I need to breathe in, or is this I need to breathe out? And I'm not sure right now. I don't know personally.
Yeah, well, you're going to make me cry. I swear that I needed to hear that. Thank you so much. Because yeah, I just, it's like this exhaustion, and part of that wanting to go hide is like, I have nothing left to give right now. Let's just go and hibernate for a while, you know? Sometimes I say I'm going back into my chrysalis so I can come out back out as another butterfly, a different butterfly.
Yeah, I mean, that's real. Totally, for sure.
I mean, we're not taught that rest is supposed to be a part of, like, our culture. We're told to, like, grind and hustle and, like, keep going and keep striving and pull yourself up and reinvent, et cetera. But resting is just as important of a part. And I hadn't felt so tired that I needed to until like a few years ago. But yeah, and breathing in and resting are similar to me. Like, yes. I guess what I would call what I was doing for the past like year, breathing in and resting and waiting to see what comes up rather than like pushing forward and then not recognizing myself in like 5 years.
Yeah.
What are your plans, Emily? What are you wanting to?
I've been trying to like listen and discern some kind of next goal for a while now, like pretty much since leaving Park City, honestly, and or maybe before that. And I like my past sort of like goals and steps forward have always made themselves really obvious to me, and it hasn't become obvious in the past couple of years. And so like maybe I feel like maybe I'm listening in the wrong places. Like I've been looking for the next art project, the next like artistic accomplishment. And I thought maybe that was seeking some kind of like maybe working with an organization more concretely, because I'm interested in like the public art process and getting more education about that. So either working with an organization, or like maybe that looks like grad school or some other kind of like learning about community engagement, public art, those kinds of things. But at the same time, like none of that really draws me forward in a way that I'm learning about it at all, like looking up, trying to how to make it work. So it hasn't happened. I don't know. The thing that seems to really be on my horizon is like trying to buy a house, trying to make a place more. I've rented for my whole life, and like I really love the idea of investing in the place that I'm at, and I love to build things, and I'm really interested in like living very intentionally, and that extends to, you know, your home and like the space that you're living in. But it can't do that when you're renting. Like it just like there's a hard line of where you can't invest into your space or your house, or like even the neighborhood around you. Like it feels like something of an empty promise to really like get into any community engagement in my neighborhood if I know that it's pretty likely I'm not going to live in this neighborhood next year. That's like a thought process that I go through almost every year before re-signing a lease or moving. And I wonder if that is something people realize on a large scale, that like having such a large percent of our city life be renters means that like people are not giving to their communities in the way that they could and probably want to, because there isn't like the ability to put down the roots that it takes to like invest yourself and your efforts into one specific spot. Yeah. You know, I've lived in Richmond this whole time. It's not like I'm moving around the world. I've moved like less than 2 miles.
A few miles.
But like, you know, the blocks that you're on and the neighborhoods that you're in, and the neighbors that you have change. And so, yeah, I like put myself into Richmond as a whole, but I know that there's so much more that I could do for my specific area and like, you know, my specific voting district. And I don't know what that looks like yet, because I think there's a lot of ways that could be really, really cool. I've really loved the idea of building a tiny house. Like that is huge. But I also right now live in a house with 3 other people, and it's this big house, and we get to make it a little bit of a central place for our other friends to come to. And I love that. I've always loved that. And that is specifically not what a tiny house is for.
Yeah. So, yeah. I feel like I feel like a tiny house is like a boob job. And
Let me hear more.
Well, when you get a boob job, I've heard all these women, they're in a relationship. When they get the boob job, they eventually end up not in that relationship. And doctors, like, even doctors warn them, you will not be in this relationship. And I feel like tiny houses, like, it's fun and it's cute and it's quirky and everything. And they're like great to have, but you will not be married. There's like no science, but it is just my guess. Cause I'm thinking, gosh, why not get a tiny house? And it's like, cause you will go insane. You will not have the relationships you have anymore and you will go crazy. So I'm interested to see.
That's hilarious. Wow. That's amazing. I do. I mean, that's like, in the construction part of it, like,
yeah,
I built out my mobile studio in thinking about tiny houses. And like, I want to do a test run of like what's involved with like the construction process and the decision making and the logistics of it. Like, and it's hard. It's really hard. And what I did is not nearly as hard as like building a house. So I can see how that would test absolutely anybody. But then, yeah, like thinking about living in a tiny space with another person, like because of the nature of the whole goal of the tiny house is to sort of like shrink seal the space to your needs. So you have to be really clear about what your needs are. Mm-hmm. And like, I think that I could do that for myself. But I don't think that I could do that with another person unless we've been living together for 10 years already. Because like, whether they know themselves or not, like we would need to figure out our needs together.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the idea of building something that doesn't fit perfectly would mean that it doesn't work.
Yeah. Then you shouldn't have a tiny house.
Yeah.
I could do a tiny house just for myself. But when I think about, I don't know, but I'm a little bit of an introvert. Like I need my own private space. Like I go out there, I'm in the world and I love people and I love being around them, but I get to the point where you have to breathe in, like we were talking about, and I need to just hibernate. I need to bring all my energy back to myself, I guess, because
I'm putting
it all out there. So yeah.
Me too.
But yeah, you should name your little truck, your art truck. Does it have a name? Your pack.
Its official name is the Giant Metal Baby. Because
it's a big baby.
Building it out, it was initially called Giant Metal Husband after a video game joke that four people understand. And turns out, like, no, this thing is way needier than a full grown adult partner. This is an infant at best.
So are either one of you in relationships right now?
This is funny.
Oh, I got married.
Yeah.
Well,
I know. Thanks. Yeah.
I'm like Mooney Day. I would have sworn it was Mooney Tyler, but maybe my memory
was. And now it's Day. Thank you. Married? Yeah, I did the thing that is like I think probably a lot of people's dream, but I didn't do it with any sort of intention. I knew that I was ready. Was it while we were in Park City, Emily, that I was like, it's been a year since I broke up with my ex. That's the time I wanted to give myself.
Yeah.
And I wanted to have like a year of just being on my own. And then we were in Park City and I was like, it's been a year. It's time. It probably wasn't time yet, but then I had a little bit more time and I got to Tucson and I got set up and I was working at, a coffee shop that I really liked. And my now husband was just one of the people that came in sometimes. Like, that's just where I made all my friends and like met my community. And we hit it off right away. And we got married a year to the day after I first just like invited myself to hang out with him and one of our friends. we had a quarantine wedding in April.
Mooney was one of the people like most robbed marriage wise by the quarantine.
Yeah.
Anytime earlier would have been like, okay, well, maybe it's still fine. And anytime later, like we would have all been more comfortable and had better idea about
a small thing. Mm-hmm.
But it was like at the peak of everybody is just staying inside. Nobody knows what's okay, and everybody knows that everything is dangerous. And so don't do anything at all.
Yeah. We had about 100 people that we were invited, just friends and a couple family members. And we ended up telling everybody to not come, but the person was officiating, and we had like each of us had our friends that were going to sign our marriage certificate. None of them came either. It was just us, actually. because I mean, the person who was going to officiate is my dear friend, and she has a daughter. And I was like, that is 100% your choice to make. Like, I totally understand. We ended up doing like we didn't have anything to do that day, because it was like 3 weeks into quarantine. So everyone was like not really working as much and staying home, and everything was scary. And so we ended up
anywhere.
Right. There's nothing to do or go anywhere. So we ended up just getting dressed that day, making a cake. And then we went on like a little round trip to some of our friends' houses just to like wave at them in our fancy clothes. And then we went out into the desert and exchanged our vows and rings, and it took about 5 minutes.
Oh, wow. How is it legal if there was no
official? This is what I've learned. Okay, I had the same question.
Yeah.
Because we're not affiliated with any churches. We are not affiliated with any religions. And so when we went and got our certificate, I asked the clerk a list of official, like, places you can be ordained in Arizona. And she kept not understanding me, so I kept rephrasing it. And then finally she was like, honey, that's between you and God, whoever officiated your marriage. And really, you just have to get someone to sign it.
Wow.
Like any human being.
I mean, it seems like something they don't check. So
yeah.
I, like, my friend was willing to get officiated, but I was looking at all these online sites, and even the free ones you had to pay for. And there was no sort of like, I mean, I think it's more symbolic for people to have someone like officially registered, but at least with Arizona, it didn't seem like there was a place she would register. So I haven't even gotten her to sign it yet. It's still sitting in that cabinet over there, because wow, the office wasn't open for a while. And then I didn't see her until like a couple weeks ago. So fine. You have awesome. 12 months to file it.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Well,
I
always say I'm not going to get married again. I don't want to get married again. But if I was to wanted to have like some type of ceremony or something, or like, for whatever reason, did get married, which won't happen. But if it did,
you sound like me.
I would want to do that. I would want to just go and have something where we just share something special with each other and exchange our vows, whatever they are. And
yeah,
you know, because
no one else needs to be involved.
The big poofy wedding dress was not insurance for a successful, happy.
Nope. I don't think anything about the wedding is really, it's so yeah. much more about like the two of you and not anybody else, which
yeah.
I don't know. I was really excited for our big wedding because yeah. it was just going to be like a big party. A lot of our friends that were coming had never been to a wedding.
As an unmarried person that has never planned a wedding, like I think that there is something to like having the people around you that you care about, because you're committing yourselves to each other, but you're also doing that in front of the people that support you. And so it becomes like this important statement to them, like, you need to treat us like we are committed to each other, and we need to treat each other the same way. And you guys witnessing that it makes it a more accountable thing. So at the very least, it solidifies and makes real something that's only emotional, but it becomes emotional for a very large, potentially, group of people that are the most important people to you.
This was one of the only, like, ceremonial, like, traditional things that I was like, after I met Donovan, I didn't think this before. I was like, actually, I do want that, I think. I do want to have all of my friends around and, like, share all of this love, all this big energy in one day. Yeah. Sounds really fun. And I hated planning the wedding. God, that is not fun. We didn't give ourselves a lot of time. And then it kept growing, you know, same story with every couple. But I also think that, like, doing it the way we did was fine. Like,
yeah.
there are some ways I'm still pretty bitter about, like, the amount of COVID cases we had then when I canceled, and the amount we have now is so drastic. But it really, like, I'm not focused on that. I'm focused on what I got, which was a good person to stick around with me.
Yeah. And even though, I mean, you weren't able to have the wedding that you planned, like, you did get to at least share the news and the information and the invitation and, like, you know, the knowledge with those people that you care about. So, like, well, I think that sense is still there, at least in the rest of us. Like, you guys, you guys are married, and that's really cool, and we're here for it.
Community of, like, in World War II, how there were these, you know, brides that they got married before he went off into battle, you know, and they barely knew each other. And they just got married with their little hat and their little cute suit. But you know, actually, you're kind of in an interesting situation in that you get to be a trendsetter on what it looks like to have gotten married during a worldwide pandemic, and then how you come out of it, because you still get to have the party.
Yeah.
And for me, I would want to have a party eventually, but for the ceremony and stuff, that's what I'm talking about. I just want me and that other person. But
of course, all that matters is that, like, the two of you are doing exactly what you want, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's all that matters.
What about you, Emily? You were going to say
What about you, Emily?
I haven't forgotten. Really close to our cameras now. Hi, everybody.
I want to hear closer.
I have been dating somebody for a month. And that's great, and I'm very happy about it. And this is new. I haven't done that for a while, since before Park City, and he's great, and I like it.
It's going great. He's a great guy. I've already met him on the internet, so that made it real.
Yeah.
We went, him and I went to the same high school, so that's good points, you know, go Panthers.
Okay. Oh, God.
Older, younger?
Are you kidding me? That's like the most ridiculous thing for Mooney to say out of her mouth.
What, go Panthers?
Yeah. I didn't have a lot of school spirit, no.
But no, it's great. We did, like, I haven't gone on dates very much ever. I'm not somebody that's, like, dated a bunch of people. I've had, like, sequential monogamous relationships for multiple years. And so since I broke up with the last person I was dating, I had gone on, like, three dates, maybe. And I downloaded Bumble, and I hate online dating. I hate the idea of it. I hate how it feels. I hate thinking that I need to do that. I hate everything about it. And I talked to, like, four different people, and went on a coffee date with one of them, and then went on a coffee date with this one, and then haven't opened the app again.
Like, yeah.
Except to tell one other person, like, oh, sorry, I'm not talking to you anymore. And it's been, like, very surprisingly, it's been, like, very good, very fast, which is unnerving, but also really fun and nice. And, so that's cool.
Yeah. Keep it up. That is cool. I'm not dating. Like, we have a worldwide pandemic. It's not the time to start a relationship.
Oh.
So.
It is interesting. Some people are trying, though. Like, pandemic dating is a thing. But it doesn't have to be.
Met somebody, I'm not going to lie. If I met somebody and we clicked and stuff, I would. But to go out and, like, download all these dating apps and make that my goal right now, it's not it. Right now, my goal is to reestablish myself and to, I've been down this road.
Yeah.
I think romantic relationships are not the most important thing about life at all.
Yeah.
This is a great time to not want to figure it out.
Yes.
Perfect. Excellent work. Excellent.
Oh, I'm not dating while I'm quarantined. Not dating.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's the same way that it's, like, the perfect excuse to not do anything right now, or not go out, or not meet up with whatever. Like, oh no, I'm just trying to stay safe. Like,
yeah.
Also, don't feel like it. Also, don't want to. Also, never wanted to.
So, what are you guys doing? Like, is this influencing your artistic process, or your mindset, or what you're wanting to do artistically? I know we all talked about school, but
You know what's influenced my artistic process the most greatly recently is I started roller skating, which has been really fun. And it's become like a quarantine sport now. There's a lot of people doing it. And it's just like I go since I don't have any structure to my day. This is the first time in my life where I've had my whole day out in front of me every day for more than 3 months now, with nothing that I have to do. Usually I don't have to do anything. So I don't know what struck me to get roller skates, but I ordered a pair. Luckily before it got really crazy, like nobody was sold out and now you can't get a pair. So I started just like going to these little basketball courts near my house and it was really hard. Roller skating is so hard, but it was so fun. And it was so rewarding if you kept at it. Like you could learn something new every day.
Yeah.
And I think that the problem solving that goes into skating for me has helped me want to do more problem solving in art. Like glass is hard. It's hard to break glass the right way and then solder it all together. But learning, like reminding myself that it's okay to be a beginner, had a really hard time getting over that. But now I feel like I've just like got, I'm like standing on top of this hill now, like, wow, I'm here. I don't care if I'm a beginner or not.
Nice.
Like I fall on my face in front of other people all the time. And like I go to the skate park and I'm like, I'm going to enter this space where it's like a lot of roller skaters, especially women, are intimidated to go into the skate park because there's a whole culture. And like, if you're not good, then people laugh at you, et cetera. I haven't had that experience personally. I've made a lot of friends at the skate park, but I think that it's still like all of those things are translating into making work easier. It's really just changed a lot of my life. I'm more interested in problem solving now. I'm more interested in figuring out how to do it rather than just being like, nah, I don't feel like doing that. It doesn't affect me. And then moving on, you know?
Yeah. I've always been a person that's like, if I am not like at least reasonably good at this within this like second try, I don't care. I don't like this. I don't want to do it.
Right. I know. And that works for some people, but it really didn't work for me because it prevented me from learning new things and like totally. Illustration I liked doing, but it wasn't what was going to work for me. It wasn't going to be a world I could break into. It wasn't going to be like, I wasn't going to go to school for it ever. You know, like I wasn't going to try to go down that path with 100,000 other people professionally. And I'm not trying to do that with skating either. But yeah, I think it's just taught me that like it doesn't matter if I'm really good as long as I'm having fun.
Yeah.
Right. And it's
are you
so
gonna be get into roller derby? I can see Mooney, the roller derby queen.
No, I think I'm too small, honestly. I just get like knocked around.
Yeah.
Although I really just
Mooney Knights as your name, I feel like.
As my roller derby name, Mooney Knights.
Yeah.
No, I don't like competitive sports, but I do know a lot of roller derby people. And since they can't play this season, a lot of them are learning how to do park skating stuff, which has been really cool. Those are all my friends now, actually, are all my skate friends. We've started like a little Discord group for anytime any of us sees one in the city, we're just like, get in our group. And we all, usually there's someone skating you can meet up with almost every day. So
awesome.
It's been really nice, actually. I don't want to go back to working.
I don't know.
I never thought, Emily, you've probably heard me say this, that I have a really hard time with what to do with myself if someone else isn't structuring some of my time. Like I've always had to report to someone else for work. And I thought that I would just crumble without that. And I did for a while, but now I figured out my routine and I figured out what really works for me. I feel like kind of blessed to have this time to really sit. I mean, I'm insanely lucky to be on unemployment and not have to worry about that.
Yeah.
But I feel really, really lucky to have this time to sit with myself and see what happens to me when I don't have anything to do.
No, that's amazing. Like I am so proud of you for not crumbling. Like, I mean, or building back up whatever did crumble, you know, I mean, like, it is really, really hard. And like doing that out of school is hard, but maybe a little easier. But like, yeah, I know a lot of people that say the exact same thing. It's not just you. It's like, I don't want to not have a part-time job, even if I am making like this other part of my life, my real career.
So what about you, Emily, moving forward or
how this has impacted my art? Well, Like, I wouldn't say the pandemic itself has impacted my art specifically. What has been more impactful lately is definitely the protests and the Black Lives Matter movement and the events surrounding all of the calls for racial justice. And, like, that is huge and extremely present in Richmond specifically. Obviously in many, many places all over the U.S. and all over the world, but Richmond is feeling it, capital of the Confederacy and everything. So so I have been trying to use my art to reflect that and to help with it in whatever way I can. It's not something that feels easy to figure out. I don't think anybody thinks it's easy to figure out, but, like, I've never been a person that just, like, feels something and puts it in a painting or whatever. Like, my art is usually not about, like conveying my emotions.
Your art is about community and
yeah,
and your community changing, art's changing, right?
Yeah, totally. I feel like what I try and do with my art when it's on something of a spectrum from, like, decorative to community powered. And when it's on the farthest end of this, like, community spectrum, it has a lot to do with sourcing, like, ideas and feelings and gathering them up from the community and then distilling them into some kind of image or some kind of process, like in Park City. So, like, that takes a lot of time. And since things are moving very fast, it feels pretty hard to handle that right now. But regardless, I am involved with a couple of different projects that are, like, that's the goal. So first what I did was put a call out to any artists of color in Richmond that are, like, interested in mural painting, because a huge thing about murals that I think is really, really important is that it's a huge public platform. It's a platform for a voice, and it's also a public infrastructure presence. Like, you are creating something that's going to be present in a lot of people's lives. So so thinking about, like, giving platforms to Black voices, this is a huge one. And some of the obstacles to Black artists getting walls is knowing people that own property or, like, having experience with painting murals enough that you could potentially, you know, have a client or a commission. So I just put a call out and was like, if anybody needs advice or information about how to paint murals or, like, potentially a connection with a wall, like, please let me know. I'll make, like, a list of people that I'll make public so that other people that are looking for artists can, you know, find you there. And I got a lot of responses to that, which was really, really cool. As an artist in, like, a small town city, I get tapped a lot to recommend other artists. And I frequently get the question, like, do you know any artists of color or female artists of color that can participate in this show or work on this project or whatever, because we want to be representative, but we don't know where these people are. And that really speaks to the racial divide in Richmond. But, like, part of that is I only knew, like, a handful of people. And so I could only ever recommend those handful of people. And with this call, I got, like, 25 names, which is huge. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Of people that are available and interested in painting walls. So since there's so many, like, plywood things going up for businesses or, like, so many people that want to visually show their support of this movement, there are a lot of calls going around of, like, looking for artists. And I think this has led a few different people to at least some helpful information, if not, like, actual jobs, which may or may not have happened. It's out of my hands, which is ideal.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I have loved our conversation, but I still have one more question. I always ask everyone, what was something that you thought was forbidden in your life that now you enjoy?
Rest.
Yeah.
I take a nap almost every day now.
I just want to copy Mooney's answer. I think I might have done that last time, too. I don't remember, but I bet I did.
What did we say last time? Does anybody know?
I only remember mine because you turned it around on me.
I know. I remember you being surprised, and I was like, why doesn't everyone ask you this?
I know, nobody. You to this day are still the only person who's ever asked me. So,
Well, I think that rest has been, but in very different ways, Emily. Like, it has been really important for both of us, but structured differently.
Yeah.
Rest and intentional rest.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think I'm going to use your thing, Emily, about breath. I think that was forbidden for me. And now, thanks to this conversation with you.
Yes, breathing in.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, ladies. It has been amazing. And maybe in 2 years, we'll do it again.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
Thanks.
I really enjoyed talking to you, Melissa. Thanks for getting us together. It's really nice to catch up. And I'm glad to see that you're doing well, that you're moving and reinventing and continuing on whatever artistic journey feels right for you in the moment. It makes me happy that you're thriving.
Thank you. I'm jealous of your mobile home too.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, congratulations to both of you because you're dating and you're married. And hey, things happen in threes. Who knows what's going to happen with me now? Okay.
All right, I'll be interested to see.
I'm dating. You're going to get pregnant. That's what's going
to happen. Good luck with that.
Funny joke.
You know, I have not gone through menopause. You have no idea how scary that thought is. And if it does happen, just send men with the white coats because I'll need it. Oh my gosh, you guys are great.
You've been listening to Loving the F. I'm Melissa Allison, and I hope you'll join me again next week.